Forecast for today, after the dense morning fog, it's sunshine the rest of the way and we'll have a high around the mid-70s. Forecast details are on the way. Two live bed bugs were found at the Racine Public Library, which means the facility will be closed Friday. A pest control company going to come in, check for any additional pests, and make any treatment if necessary. The bookmobile also involved. Here's WRJN's Janet Hoff.
According to a news release, one of the bed bugs was found in the circulation area and one on a returned DVD. In order to protect staff and the public, the library has contracted with Canine Detection and Inspection Services to inspect the entire building. If evidence of bed bugs is found, the library has contracted with Anderson Pest Solutions to treat the area. The building must be closed for several hours for these operations. The library will announce the results of the tests and if any treatment is needed on Friday. Janet Hoff, WRJN News.
The application for renewal of the liquor license at Racine's Riverside Inn still undecided at this point. The owner-operator seeking to get reinstatement as part of a deal with the city that called for its suspension, the license, while problems with the facility got fixed. The Public Safety and Licensing Committee hearing from Assistant City Attorney New Tran, going over the different points of the agreement and noting that Sam Naimi had met virtually every one of them. She did point to the lack of three hired employees, though, needing operators' licenses, is the only remaining issue.
The agreement specified that he needed at least three full-time employees with an operator's license hired in addition to himself. As far as I'm aware, he has one with an operator's license. He did submit an application for two more with an operator's license. However, they were just submitted earlier today, so they have not been approved and they are not clearly on the agenda today. So with that portion of it, he's not compliant.
River Bluff Homeowners Association member Jay Matter speaking out against allowing the facility to get the license renewal, concern for past problems resurfacing.
We do understand that there's been some recent improvements, very recent, but there's a very long-term track record here at this property. So the improvements have come at great effort of the city, is my understanding of the different departments, and we really appreciate the efforts that have been made to make those improvements, but we still see the trend as potentially deteriorating, especially if you add a liquor license to this property.
The committee agreed to defer the license issue until the employee applications can be vetted by the police department. The agreement suspension on the Riverside Inn license expires September 20th. That would leave a gap until a committee vote is taken. Kenosha Mayor John Antaramian trying to explain why he sent a letter to Governor Walker saying his city is no longer interested in hosting the Foxconn facility. He says because the Joint Finance Committee did not include modifications he had requested in the incentives package. The protections requested, according to Antaramian, would have had very little impact on the deal, but he says it's a different situation for Mount Pleasant.
The legislation that was changed for Mount Pleasant when it was in the Assembly. So The situation in Mount Pleasant in the sense of the annexation issue and the creation of a village, immediate creation of a village, was something they wanted. So that was put in for the project. So for them, a negative for us was a positive for them. Okay. As to what the municipalities were looking for.
Mayor Antaramian noting Kenosha will still benefit from a Mount Pleasant location with Foxconn, just without taking the risk. Racine County Executive Jonathan Delagrave has a listening session coming up at the Waterford Town Hall from 4 to 6 p.m. today. Members of his staff and members of the various county departments will be there, talking about different county services available in the West End. Other elected officials may also show up. And the Racine Board of Parks, Recreation, and Cultural Services meeting at 5:15 this evening in room 130 of the City Hall Annex. There's a communication from Alderman Steve Smetana and Sandy Widener requesting development and implementation of a formal policy to allow citizen donation of benches for city parks and other public spaces. And the zoo's recent accreditation process will be talked about, the report on the zoo noting removal of the zip line from the playground due to injuries. Local obituaries, Connie Sharp of Racine at the age of 81 passed away on September the 5th at Applewood of Brookfield. 34 years she worked with Gateway Technical College in the Student Registration Division. She became the secretary for the Racine Campus Administrator until her retirement in 2006. The Mass of Christian Burial coming up at St. Joseph's Catholic Church on Erie Street in Racine this Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. Friends and relatives can meet with the family at the Marsh Meredith and Acklam Funeral Home Friday evening at 5 p.m. and again on Saturday at the church starting at 9:30. And Kenneth Nelmark of Mount Pleasant, at the age of 84, passed away on September the 1st at Ascension All Saints Hospital. Friends and relatives can meet with the family at the Marsh Meredith and Acklam Funeral Home Friday morning, 10 o'clock, until 11 a.m. when the funeral service begins. After telling you yesterday that the Racine Common Council was going to be meeting tonight in open committee of the whole session on the latest in the Machinery Row project and the former developer, then came word from City Hall, well, now it's going to be a closed session with the possibility later on of some litigation. Iowa developer Rodney Blackwell and his LLC's lack of movement on the project on the Root River, part of tonight's discussion. The six candidates for mayor in Racine in next Tuesday's special election primary were part of a two-hour forum last night inside the Chavez Community Center at Douglas Park with a crowd of about 150. One of the questions posed was regarding the Lakefront Event Center. Do you support it? Wally Rendon saying it could be a good idea, but in his words, it's not a hockey city.
You know, if you had basketball or something else, maybe, but if y'all remember the Brewer Stadium that we were supposed to pay only for a few years, guess what, folks? We're still paying for it. And as Ms. Widener said as well, folks, that $55 million, that's just the starting number.
Corey Mason recently coming out against it because of the cost to taxpayers, whom he said apparently don't want it.
We need to have ideas that can work in the real world. It's going to make the next thing even harder because of the skepticism that's out there. I talked to one gentleman early on in the campaign, and he said, you know, I just have proposal fatigue from the city. It just seems like there's one big idea proposed after another, and it never seems to happen. The city needs to be smart about its redevelopment.
Austin Rodriguez said there should be more private investment, while the proposal also should be amended.
They had an Olympic-sized pool and possibly a 24-hour arcade in there. Yeah, hey, it sounds encouraging to me. I'll probably be in there all day gaming it up. but right now, we have to look into it and see, does a hockey atmosphere or audience will bring in revenues for this community?
Sandy Widener said she's not personally opposed to it, but the citizens of Racine should have a voice in the process.
These are horrific, expensive decisions that are being made without your voice, without your representation. For 17 years, I have been a voice for change on the city council, and I have been saying, let the people express how they feel. And the only way you can do that is through a referendum.
Melvin Hargrove opposed it from the start, says the festival site and Memorial Hall need better utilization.
If you're not using what you have right now, it makes no sense to then build something bigger with the mentality that if you build it, they will come. I don't believe that. I believe you have to prove that it is worthy of being built in order to be filled up. And at this point, that was not going to happen. And so I'm not against development. I'm for smart development.
And Fabi Maldonado, he's against it because of the additional taxpayer debt.
Our lights are already being shut off. The people that are going to get affected the most are the poor, the vulnerable in our city. So yeah, this arena is a terrible idea. Again, I'm also not anti-development, but let's not put ourselves in monstrous debt.
The top two vote-getters from next Tuesday's primary to square off in the October 17th general election. The Mount Pleasant Village Board has a special meeting tonight at 6:30. It's regarding the search for the new village administrator. It'll be a closed session. The Village Board in Summers last night unanimously approving a special event license for what's being promoted as midget wrestling at the Summers House Tavern on Sheridan Road. The group involved called the Micro Wrestling Federation. The requested hours for that September 24th event were 5 p.m. to 11:30 p.m. The board decided to make it 3:30 in the afternoon till 10 p.m., the latter meeting the village's ordinance. The Racine City Plan Commission has a 4:30 meeting this afternoon in council chambers at City Hall, and among the agenda items, a conditional use permit request by Greenspan Home Healthcare. They want to operate a personnel office at 2124 16th Street to offer in-home services to the elderly and disabled. There's an ordinance to rezone part of the Lutheran High School North Lawn area near Spring Street. That would take it out of a floodplain, the designation to help with plans by Lutheran for a facility expansion in the future to meet a growing student population. And architectural plan approval for the S.C. Johnson Aquatic Center at Pritchard Park. That would include both support buildings and parking facilities. A boarded up Racine apartment building just to the northeast of City Hall on 6th Street, it's going to need asbestos treatment. The Finance and Personnel Committee supports the recommendation of purchasing agent Kathy Casper to go with the second lowest bidder.
We did get three bids on this. We are awarding not to the lowest bidder on here. We feel that Safe Abate bid $5,475.
The other bidder that we would like to award to is Balestrieri. They bid $34,610. And Professional Asbestos Removal and Survey Services bid $40,310.
She explained it was a cooperative decision based on the lowest bid just simply not being realistic at just about $5,500.
I discussed this bid result with Ken Plasky and with Linda Falenz of LF Green, who is the person that actually does our asbestos inspections. And I actually did call the DNR as well and talk to Mr. Mark Davis. And we all felt that the lowest bid was irresponsible and could not cover the scope of work.
Balestrieri Environmental and Development's recommended bid now going to the Common Council for a final vote September 20th. The property owned by RNN Investments and Holdings issued a raise order by City Building Inspector Ken Plasky back in May. The residents relocated because of what Casper indicated were serious asbestos problems. Kenosha Area Chamber of Commerce has a legislative breakfast scheduled Tuesday, September the 26th, beginning at 7 in the morning at the Kenosha Country Club. The featured speaker to be John Koskinen, chief economist for the Wisconsin Department of Revenue. He's testified before multiple standing committees of the state legislature about Wisconsin's economic outlook. Prior to joining DOR, Koskinen was the staff economist for the Department of Administration from the years 1979 to 2007. Registrations are being taken for this legislative breakfast. Send an email to info@KenoshaAreaChamber.com or call 262-654-1234. Take note that registration will end on September the 22nd. You probably heard the state Senate approve the $3 billion Foxconn incentives measure yesterday. That is sent on to the Assembly before it goes to Governor Walker with amendments. Senator Bob Wirch, the only Democrat to support the bill, said it was a tough decision, but he backs the jobs and he noted it was the only deal on the table. Senator Van Wongart says this is a message, not just to Foxconn, but to every other manufacturer of cutting-edge technology. Wisconsin should be your new home. And Racine-based S.C. Johnson applauds legislative passage of the Clean Product Right to Know Act of 2017 by the State Assembly of California, designed to create an industry-wide ingredient communication program for manufacturers of consumer and institutional air care, automotive, general cleaning, polish, and floor maintenance products. Company President and CEO Fisk Johnson pointing out in a statement that they have been sharing the ingredients in SCJ products with consumers for nearly 10 years now. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.